Jen, and today I'm joined by Karen, Kristen, and Brittany. Hey guys, how's it going?
Hello.
Hey.
Just so you are all aware, lovely listeners, this is the first day where we've had to spring ahead, so to speak, for daylight savings time, and we decided to record fairly early in the morning, which we weren't thinking about at the time, so if we're a little out of it, we apologize in advance, but it's way earlier than we normally podcast, and I don't think there's enough coffee in the world to fix that at this point. So we're just going to get started and see how it goes. This episode, we're going to talk about all things Irish when it comes to books. With St. Patrick's Day right around the corner, we thought it would be a little bit fun to talk about some Irish books that were set in Ireland, Irish authors. And we're also going to catch you up on some of the adaptations we've been watching on TV, as some of them have come to a close already, and some of them are kind of just building up to their final episodes. So that's kind of what we're going to do for now. But let's start off with what we've been reading. And Karen, you have a sad face. What happened? You didn't get to read anything this week.
No.
Karen's her list is literally a sad face.
Yeah, I did not get to read anything, which is a shame because I have a lot of things I want to read. But again, just super busy.
Life gets in the way, man. We need to have book time set aside. Those should always come first, but sometimes it doesn't always work that way. Yeah. All right, Brittany, what have you been up to?
So, you know how awesome your list sounds some week and you're like, I have all these books to put on here. And then you get to the next week and you're like, oh, I finished all of those books that I put on there. And it took me all week. So, yeah, I haven't picked up anything new, but I finished all of the books that I said I read last week. So I finished Skag Boys and A Study in Charlotte and what else was I reading? Oh, I think that was it. But yeah, I finished those early in the week and then I had a bunch of scripts to read. Still doing that. So that's what I've been reading.
All right. Kristen, how about you?
I have a few. I finished the P.S. I Still Love You by Jenny Han, which is the sequel to All the Boys I've Loved Before. And I have a love-hate relationship with those books. Like, I love them. They're really, really fun, and I love the style she writes them in. Like, it's really kind of different from other things I've read. But, man, the endings never feel quite satisfying enough. And, you know, it was nice to learn that there was another book after To All the Boys I've Loved Before. But this ending still did not quite satisfy me, and I'm like, man, there's nothing more coming down the pike. Like, she doesn't have another book coming out, so there is no, fixing this one. But it's a good book, and it's a good series, and if you're at all interested, I definitely suggest reading them. I also read My Arc of Paper Princess by Erin Watt, which I don't know when you'll be listening to this, but this week on Hypeable, we will be revealing who exactly Erin Watt is. It's a pen name for, let's just say, a writer that I quite enjoy and that some of the other ladies on this podcast have enjoyed as well. So, I'm really, really excited about that. It's a YA series called The Royals, Paper Princesses Book 1, and it's really ridiculous and awesome and fun. It's about a girl whose mother, she passes and she's taking care of herself because her dad was never in the picture, and suddenly gets picked up by this guy who says he was her father's best friend and he wants to bring her home and make her a part of the family. And so she eventually goes with him after checking him out and making sure he's not a crazy person, basically. She goes with him and she lives in his mansion with him and his five sons, and craziness ensues. It's really,
five
really
sons? Seriously? Like, one or two wasn't enough? There had to be five?
Five sons. Yes, okay. I know. It sounds insane. But it's a really, really fun read, and I really enjoyed it. It comes out April 4th, I believe. First week of April, for sure. But keep an eye on Hypebol because we'll be doing the reveal of who the author is and the cover reveal this week. So, yeah, I was really excited about that one. And lastly, I started Midnight Lily by Mia Sheridan, who I love. She's written some really great books. All of her books right now, she's working in a series, but all of the books are standalones. And they're basically loosely referencing astrological signs. Like, it's kind of a weird way, but she's got this really cool thing going on. If you've read Archer's Voice, that's a part of it. That's the only one of hers I have read before Midnight Lily, which is about this guy who's a professional football player, and he's, you know, he's got this really bad reputation, and he finally kind of like gets to the point where nobody wants to work with him, and his rep is crap. And so his friend gives him this cabin in the woods to go to kind of cleanse himself and to get back to basic, like a baseline, to not be quite so ridiculous. And when he's there, he sees this girl who, as far as I've gotten in the book so far, appears to be like a ghost. I don't know. So I'll let you guys know how that one goes. But so far, it's been really interesting, and I really love her. So it's, yeah, it's been a good reading week for me.
All right. Awesome. I read 2 books this week, and one of them was like 600 plus pages, so I feel like 2 was my limit this week. The first one I read was Dirty by Kylie Scott. That comes out in a month or so, I think. It comes out in April. And Kristen read this one last week, and she talked about it, so I won't talk about it too much. But it's an interesting kind of it was a fun novel. I'm not sure it was one of my favorite novels I've read recently, but it was definitely fun. And then I read Lady Midnight by Cassandra Clare, which is the newest sort of Shadowhunter book that she's created. And it is part of the Dark Artifices series, which is really hard to say and weird to say. But Lady Midnight, I loved it. I really, really enjoyed the characters in it. The only issue I kind of had with it is there's a ton, like heavy-handedly tons of references to Jace and Clary and Magnus and Alec. And while I love those characters and I love, you know, basically the first part of the Mortal Instruments series, the last 3 books I wasn't as in love with. It's a lot of reference to them. I wanted this series to be new and fresh and not quite so heavy-handed with the references to Clary and Jace. And we get to see Magnus, which I think he's the only character that has appeared in every single book she's ever written. But I like the books. I like the characters. And it's different. It's definitely different. It's set in Los Angeles. The primary character is a girl named Emma. She's pretty much a badass shadow hunter. And she has a parabatai named Julian Blackthorn. So you get to meet the Blackthorn family. And she's lived with them because she was orphaned. And Julian and his brothers and sisters were also orphaned in the Dark War, which happens in the last 3 of the books, the city, the Heavenly Fire book and stuff like that. So it's really good. It's got a really interesting plot. There's like a serial killing going on in the demon mundane kind of world, or downworld or mundane kind of world. And they set out to figure out what's going on, even though they're not technically adult shadow hunters yet. And there's some interesting relationships that occur, and a couple of tense moments. So, I don't know. I really liked it. I liked all the new characters that she's created for the series. And there are a lot of them, because there are 5 Blackthorn children, along with Emma. And then Christina, who also joins them at the Institute, who is from Mexico. So there's a lot going on. And there's also another really fun warlock. So that's what I was reading this week, was Lady Midnight. And like I said, it's a really, really big book. So if you're going to read it, you need to like set aside some time, because you're going to kind of want to read it pretty quickly. It kind of sucks you in, which is a good thing, most definitely. So that's what I've been up to. Nothing overly exciting. All right. So you guys, let's talk a little bit about what we've been watching, because I know we all sort of watch one form or another of an adaptation on TV. Some of them have just ended, like the Shannara Chronicles. Some of them are going to be ending shortly, like Shadowhunters, and I think The Magicians, right? Brittany, are you still watching that?
Yeah, it's almost over.
Yeah, so let's talk about it, because we talked about them at the beginning and a little bit in the middle, and now that we're wrapping up, or they have wrapped up, let's see how we're still feeling about them. So, Brittany, why don't you go ahead and start with the Magicians?
I'm still really liking it. I think I've completely turned over to accepting what they're doing, and which is good. My biggest concern was when they went to Breakbill South. I really think they needed two or three episodes to cover Breakbill South. So I didn't think that they were going to do it at all. And all of a sudden they were turning into geese at the end of one episode. And I was like, oh,
yes,
we're going to go to Breakbill South. Okay, great. And I think Mayakovsky was cast perfectly. He wasn't as old as I thought he'd be, but the guy who played him was brilliant. And I felt like the whole thing kind of centered on, you know, just getting Quentin and Alice to hook up, which was kind of frustrating because I think that there's so much more magic that they learn in Breakbill South, and that's where they like really become magicians. And it wasn't as threatening, because when you're in, this is like the trial in the book where like you don't come back. Like, this is where you lose half of the third years. And it didn't feel that threatening. Like, if they couldn't figure out, oh, they only had to complete like two tasks when they were down there. And it didn't feel like the stakes weren't high enough, I guess, for me.
Yeah.
For them to come back. But I thought that, the world that they built down there was great. And I really just wanted them to do the, like, that thing where like he throws them out in the snow and they have to like basically walk their way back to Breakbill with like nothing on their backs and just using their magic. And that didn't happen. They just like opened a door and they were back at Breakbill. And I was like, oh, okay. So we're done with that for now. But yeah, other than that, I'm really liking it. I love Elliot's storyline, and I'm starting to slowly come around to Julia's story. Because she's still just a little frustrating. And I think it's partially the actress who's playing her is like...
Yeah, she's super whiny.
Yeah, she's too whiny. I think that she's nailing the whole exhausted look, but I'm kind of over it. Like, they're very descriptive. Like, Lev Grossman is very descriptive about how, like, frustrated and tired and, like, out of it Julia is. And this actress is nailing that part, but she's coming off as, like, spoiled and whiny, and I'm not digging her. But yeah, I'm glad it's coming back for a second season, so I'm excited to see if they you know, create their own world, or they pull from the second or third book. So
all right, well, that it'll be interesting. I mean, I think it's been I watched most of it. I think I missed the last episode, but I mean, it's interesting to see how they're playing it out. It feels like, if you've ever watched any show on the sci-fi, it feels very much like a sci-fi show from the, you know, from that channel. So I guess it doesn't surprise me in a lot of ways, but it is so, in some places, very different from how they handled the books. So I don't know. It'll be interesting to kind of watch it and continue forward. Karen, did you ever end up watching it?
I didn't.
Oh, okay. So Karen, you did watch the Shannara Chronicles.
Yes, I did.
So how did you... How did you feel about that, Karen?
take a guess. I really loved it. I thought it was absolutely fantastic. I haven't read the books. I think I mentioned that when we first started talking about it. So coming from a completely like new perspective, I thought they did a great job. I know one of the other Hypeable staffers, Danya, has read the books, and she's been going through the season being like, yeah, they've actually changed a lot from the books. But I still think she's enjoying the series, so that's always good to hear from a fan perspective. One of the biggest things that shocked us when Shannara first came out was the fact that it was on MTV, and the quality was so fantastic, and that quality is consistent throughout the entire series. It keeps nailing everything, and my favorite thing about it is you think it's going to go one way, and then it goes the other way, and it kind of, like, gets rid of a lot of tropes that it sets up, which is really nice to see. And the friendship between the main three characters is something that I would live for week to week, because you would be like, oh, you know, they're going to fight and they're going to hate each other. And then the two girls who I feel like in 99 other stories would be at each other's throats end up teaming up kind of against the guy. And it was just a nice way to subvert a lot of those tropes. And by the end of the season, it had a pretty shocking ending. And I don't know how people are going to react to that moving into season two. I do think the ending's going to stick, which is kind of concerning. But yeah, season two hopefully will bring us a lot more new, because it's not going to be exploring the books anymore, I guess. The next book is about two of the characters' children, or one of the characters' children, I think. And so it's not jumping that far ahead in season two, so I think it's going to be all new material, which is really interesting.
Oh, that'll be rather intense. Yeah. Did anyone else watch the Shannara Chronicles besides Karen and I?
I did.
Did you like it?
Yes. It was really good fun. Yeah. I mean, for a network that kind of hit it on the head with Teen Wolf and kind of figured out how to do scripted drama at all with Teen Wolf, and then to see this come from them, it's like, wow, okay. Yeah, because the production value on that show is fantastic.
It's insane.
Yeah, it's absolutely insane. And I really, really liked the story, and I'm looking forward to more from them, because it feels when we first started the series, it gives you that Lord of the Rings epic, crazy, different, like, not just different kinds of people, but like different kinds of human like creatures. You've got elves, and you've got they're not trolls, I forget what their names are, but like there's a lot of, well, no, not the rovers, the guys with the funny faces that they were enemies and now they're friends.
Oh, the gnomes.
Thank you, the gnomes. Mm-hmm. Thank you. I could not think of the word gnomes. But yeah, there's a lot of, you know, different creatures and whatnot, and I really, really liked that. It's been a while since Lord of the Rings for me, and I really, really enjoyed it. So I hope everybody else did too.
No, I definitely enjoyed it. Again, it's one of those things where you're like, this is on MTV, because they filmed in New Zealand, which that budget must be insane, and everything is just so cool. Like the way the scout, whoever they had as a scout to find locations to do this, is very talented, because it's stunning the things that they came up with and the setting and how different it all is. So I really, really enjoyed the show. I thought it was a lot of good fun. I agree with Karen about the different tropes and how they kind of bust through all of them and stuff like that. So I don't know. I'm really curious to see where it goes, because I saw the last episode. So I know what you're talking about, Karen, and now I'm very concerned.
Yeah.
I am not okay with that.
Let's just say that also happens in the book, and it's a thing that stays. It happens. So, and I think that's a really bold move for
that
any television.
That is super bold.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's intense. So anyway, for those of you who have not seen Shannara, go watch it, because then you'll understand where we're at and why we're a little like dismayed. It'll be okay. All right, so Shadowhunters is the last one. Are any of you guys watching it besides me, or is it just me?
Karen and I are, but we're a couple of episodes behind.
Yeah.
Okay. All right.
Yeah,
when
I'm
you get to this past, oh, you guys, the last two episodes have been actually really good. Especially this very last episode was so good. So good. Like it's finally like definitely, I think, hit its pace where it's in a good place. But how are you guys feeling about it? Because I know before, Karen, you were like not into it at all.
Yeah, well, that's definitely changed. I will give it that.
Yes.
The first few episodes, I loathed it. I really did. And then each episode it got a little bit better, and I would like, you know, a whole scene, and then I would like a whole 15-minute block, and then I ended up liking the whole episode, and it was hard going, I'm not going to lie. It took a lot to tune in each week, but it ended up being fun, and I enjoy it on a superficial level. I'm not really interested in it in, like, an intense viewing like I would with, you know, the Shannara Chronicles, but mm-hmm. I would like to catch up just to see how I end up feeling about it. The interesting thing for me is that I'm tuning in for the relationships, not the plot, which is not how I usually watch television. The relationships usually come secondary, but for some reason I care a lot more about the relationships than the whole plot thing.
But I think part of it is because we, as readers, like, if you've read the books, the relationships are what is really important within the story itself. Yeah, the plot in the book is different. It's definitely different. But you know, kind of know where it's going, and you know what's coming. And so I think to have a plot be different and as different as this one is, and then and they've introduced a new character that's not existent in any of the books. So when you guys meet her, because you haven't yet, if you haven't watched the last two episodes, she takes everything and flips it on its head. And there's some things that go down that are so, so good that were never in the books. Oh my goodness. Yeah, she's a piece of work. And she's related, if you guys read, like, the Clockwork Princess series, she's related to some of the characters in that series. So she's really cool. And I like her, kind of, but at the same time, I want to punch her in the face. So that's where we're at with that.
Those are always
But the last two episodes in particular, they really are... I'm telling you, when you get to this last episode that aired, there are some things that go down, and you're not going to be happy about them. I'm just going to say it. So don't read any of the articles I'm writing right now, because if you edit them, Karen, you will be spoiled, and it's not worth it. You need to watch it. So, yeah. So, anyway, again, with, like, what Karen said, the beginning of Shadowhunters was really rough. I stuck with it because, A, I'm covering it for Hypable, and, B, I really had hopes that it would come around because I like so many people the way they're cast. I think the cast is really solid with who they're playing as characters. And as the season's progressed, they've gotten more and more into it, and they've grown quite a bit. Matt Daddario as Alec has, especially these last two episodes, there's a lot of him in them, and he is really, really good, you guys. Like, he might almost be my favorite over Alberto Resende, who is Simon, who I know, but you've got to watch these last two episodes, because he steps up his game in a major, major, like, it's good. There are moments, I'm just saying. So really, just really, really good stuff happening. And I love, Emerald Tobia, who's playing Isabel. Love her. She's just all kinds of sass, and she's just so much fun. So I really like the cast, and that was part of the reason I stuck with it. And I'm glad I did, because it has evolved quite a bit. And I think the last two episodes really kind of show where they've kind of hit their stride now. And it'll be interesting to see. There are three episodes left to this season. To see kind of what happens next. And I'm still waiting to see if there's a major kind of plot line that runs through the first three books of The Mortal Instruments. And it'll definitely change the status of at least one relationship in the TV show, if they follow through with it. And they've mentioned a couple of things that leads me to believe that they are going to follow through with it. So I'll be really curious to see how that goes down, because it's kind of a big deal, and it's definitely not a plot line for everyone. So I'm really curious.
Yeah, I remember leaving the movie with my mom and her being like, no, just no.
Well, in the movie, they also handled it very differently. They basically told you, it's not true. We're just going to say this. Like, they came right out and said it. In the books, you get to the end of that first book, and you're
in the books, it's so much
what? And you, like throw, like, I personally maybe threw that book across the room when I got to that part. I'm just saying that may have happened. But yeah, so it'll be interesting to see what they actually follow through on and what they don't. And then, of course, the last episode is called Malik, So for all you Alec and Magnus fans, I think it'll be a big one. But there are things that are going to complicate this whole situation, because if any of you have seen the promo photos for the last episode, Alec's not with Magnus in that. There's something else going on, totally different. And I don't want to ruin it for you guys who have not watched the last two episodes. So get caught up, will ya? So yeah. So Kristen, have you been watching it too? Oh, sorry. Go ahead, Karen.
No, that's what I was going to say. I've really been enjoying watching it with Kristen because she knows nothing. Absolutely nothing.
Yeah. Oh, good time.
What do you think is happening right now?
Yeah. As if watching Buffy and not knowing anything and having Karen lord all of that knowledge over me wasn't bad enough. We are also watching Shadowhunters, in which I know nothing and Karen just sits over there and giggles. No, I've enjoyed it so far. There are some members of the cast who I didn't latch on to them at first. I didn't love their portrayal of the characters, but as it's gone on, it's gotten better. It really has. Again, I think we're two episodes behind, maybe three, but I know two. So I can't say the newest episodes, like where we're at, but it definitely improved. It's definitely getting better, and I do love Alec quite a bit. Like,
thank you. See,
he's so surly, but I love Amanda Dunn, who was in Percy Jackson and a bunch of other things. I love her, so finding out that he's her brother, I was like, that's kind of cool. Like, I didn't know they both acted. That's awesome.
Yeah.
It's been great. So, and I also love Harry Shum Jr. because I am a Glee fan, so.
Well, I have to say, and I've contemplated writing an article about this, because when Harry Shum Jr. was cast, I was not happy. Like, it's on Book Hype somewhere where we talked about it. I was like, no. Absolutely not. No. But after seeing him, I'm like, oh, he's kind of perfect. Like, every, like, doubt I had was totally wiped out within the last couple, especially the last couple of episodes. There's a lot more Magnus, but, like, he is so good at being Magnus. Like, he's just, I love it. I love everything that he's doing with it. So I have to take back my doubts because they were clearly unfounded. So I don't know, but you guys need to catch up because there are some very good things happening right now on Shadowhunters. All right, so let's move on. Let's actually talk about books now, because let's make that happen. All right, so in celebration of St. Patrick's Day, which is coming up in like 4 days, we're going to talk all about Irish authors, Irish books, all kinds of fun stuff like that. Now, I have to say, Google searching this is not your friend. It is not an easy thing to do. I did not get great results. So if any of you lovely listeners know of any Irish books or Irish authors that we're going to miss, because I'm sure there will be lots and they'll probably be really good ones, feel free to tweet at us and we will make note of it, because I always miss something. But let's start off with books that are set in Ireland, which I think was the harder thing for me to find than actual Irish authors. So do you guys have any books that you've read and loved that were set in Ireland?
Sort of, yes. Kind of.
Okay.
Maybe.
Go for it.
I added this book to the list, and Jen laughed because the title is ridiculous.
It's pretty funny.
The name of the book is The Hooker and the Hermit. Hooker has no relation to the profession in which people sell themselves for sex. Not a thing. That's not what this book's about. The hooker is actually a position on a rugby team. And so
yes, it is.
This book is about a rugby player and this girl who runs like a blog, and in her like professional life, she works on a PR firm that helps like rehabilitate images for celebrities and whatnot. So she kind of works from home most of the time, and she's not a real people person. She's a hermit, so she, you know, she doesn't meet a whole ton of people. She just does her work for this firm and then, you know, whatever. So in the book, it's really good fun. He is he definitely needs their services. So he goes to this PR firm and he meets her, and then he finds out that she's this blogger who has ripped him to shreds in the past. And it's really, really interesting. It's half set in New York, half set in Ireland. So it's a little bit of both, but he is Irish like through and through. So I really, really love this book. It was a random read. I picked it up off of a recommendation from a book group on Facebook, and I knew nothing about the author and nothing about the character of the book, and I really, really enjoyed it. So.
Okay, now that sounds like a lot of fun, and I might have to go read
yeah.
it.
Yeah.
Darn you, Kristen! All right. So you guys have all heard of the movie Brooklyn that was starred Saoirse Ronan, that was just up for an Oscar. It's also a novel. It's based on a novel by Colm Tobin, and it's obviously set in half in Ireland and half in Brooklyn, New York. So that's definitely something. Just the beauty of the movie would be enough to make me want to read the book. So it's definitely one to check out. And then the other one is The Fever Series by Karen Moaning. Have you guys ever heard or read this one at all?
No.
Kristen, have you? No? No. Oh. All right. So The Fever Series is about this girl who lives in Atlanta, I think, to start. And then her sister is studying abroad in Ireland, and she gets killed. So she goes over. The girl's obsessed with figuring out what happened to her sister, so she goes over to Ireland to see what's happened. And then in kind of the middle of all of this, she meets this man, and he is maybe one of my favorite male characters of all time. His name is Jericho Barnes, and he owns like this very cool bookshop, and he's very everything, ladies, very everything. Let's just leave it at that. And so she is trying to figure out what's going on, and some weird things start to happen to her. And she realizes that she is maybe part supernatural, as well as the lovely man, Jericho Barnes, who owns the bookstore. And so he kind of takes her in to try to protect her because she's important in this world of things that are going on. It's a fae book, so it's about fairies, and some of the fairies are really evil. And so it kind of just develops from there. I think I read the first 5 books in the series. It goes on like past that, but I never really read them because it's different characters and there's different things going on. But this series of books is so, so cool. There's so many things going on in it, and then you like get to parts and you're like, oh, I know what's going to happen. And then you have no idea what's going to happen, and something completely different happens. And you're like, what? But they're really, really good. And they're set in Ireland, and which is really fun and different because it's not, you know, sometimes it's really fun to read the folklore that's associated with the area where the story is being told. So it's really cool. I definitely, definitely suggest checking it out if you have the time. And at one point, this book has been optioned to be made into film. And this book has a lot of sexy times in it. And so when it was optioned, people are like, this is going to have to be like NC-17, or like people were going crazy about it. And the author is like, stop telling the film company how sexual this book is. It's not like, guys, they can change things. It'll be okay. But, like, there was this big thing about that came up when it was first optioned, because fans were like, no, you need to keep it this way. And if you're going to do it this way, then it's going to have to be. So, yeah, there was all that involved, too. But it was definitely a book that – or series that I really enjoyed reading. And, like I said, really cool things happen within it. So – let's talk a little bit.
I was going to say, I totally just looked this series up on Goodreads, and at least 3 or 4 of my favorite authors have read it and rated it either 4 or 5 stars. So I haven't read it, but it looks pretty interesting.
It is so good. I'm telling you, Jericho Barnes is like, oh, I love him. He's so good. He's a very well-developed character is all I'm going to say. Really enjoyed him a lot. And he's got the biggest secrets in the book, so he's even mysterious at that. And did I mention he owned a bookstore? Like, did I mention, because, you know, it's kind of cool. I'm just saying. So let's talk about some Irish authors. And with the Irish authors, we'll have more books that are set in Ireland. So that'll help, because I was like, I don't know. Like, I couldn't think of any books set in Ireland, even though I know I've read them. So that was a pretty good time trying to figure that out early this morning. All right, so let's talk authors. You guys, have you all read some Maeve Binchy? Please tell me you have. If not, you're all getting homework, so go.
I don't need more homework, Jennifer.
Karen, you've never read any?
I haven't either.
Oh my God, you've all let me down.
Well, the book covers, to be fair, yeah, the book covers make it look like a Nora Roberts type series, so I never...
I know. I know, I understand. But you guys never got curious... Have you ever... Okay, this is going to make or break it for you all right now. Have you ever seen the movie Circle of Friends?
No.
No.
None of you?
I've never even heard of it until you started talking about it before we recorded.
Yeah, yep, same here.
Oh my gosh. Okay. All right. You're all getting packages. That is all. I have no words. Maeve Binchy writes these like glorious books. They're all very people centered and focused, and many of them have romance elements to them, but they're very much about the characters and stuff like that. So she her books are so, so good. So good. And Circle of Friends was one of my favorites, and it was made into a movie that I watched like 5 billion times when I was younger because I loved it. And it's Minnie Driver and Chris O'Donnell are in the movie. And the guy who plays Littlefinger on Game of Thrones, Aiden, and I forget his last name. He was also in the Scorch Trials, Karen.
Yeah.
Gillen. Aiden Gillen.
Thank you. I'm like, what's his last name? He is in that well as well.
Is he
even? As a very young... No, he's not. He's actually very sweet.
Yeah. I can't look at him. Oh.
But he doesn't, like, look like he does now. Like, he's got floppy, dark hair in Circle of Friends, so he doesn't... Like, until I was, like, reading his filmography for something else, I didn't realize that he was in Circle of Friends, if that helps. No? Okay. Anyway, Maeve Binchy, everyone should read her. She passed away about a year ago, I think. But her novels are just, they're, like, wonderful. I love them. And they're all set in Ireland in different parts. Like, some of them are set in, like, rather, like, to an American or rather unknown. They're not all, like, set in Dublin. They're set, like, in the country and stuff. So lots of really cool character-driven stories from her. You know, felt deep in the heart. So if you ever need, like, a nice, cool, sappy read, then I would definitely go with Maeve Binchy. And you're all getting Circle of Friends because this has to happen. End of discussion. Anyway, moving along. did you guys know that Bram Stoker was Irish?
Yeah, I didn't until we started looking at this.
I didn't either. So who said yes, yeah. Karen?
Yes.
How did you know?
I know a thing.
Was it? You know everything? No, is that what you said?
I said I know a thing because I always feel like I'm like I don't know anything.
Oh, right. I also thought you said I know everything. I was like, oh,
yeah, okay, that sounds cool. Like, oh, all right. So because how many times have we learned about Bram Stoker in like English class and stuff? I don't ever recall there being part of the discussion of him being Irish, so I was quite surprised by that one.
I think there are two reasons why I probably know this. One, because my dad does know everything, and he likes
awesome.
To just call me up and give me trivia, which is both enlightening and annoying. But so I know a lot of random things because of him. Also, I've been to Ireland, and I want to say that I've seen Bram Stoker's house. Lived.
See, I've been to lots and lots and lots of different places. Ireland is not one of them, which is so sad because I really want to go. But the one time I was... So
great. When you're not outside of Dublin is great. Dublin's awesome, but like you have to go outside of Dublin to really appreciate Ireland, I think.
Yeah. Well, I was like all set to go to Ireland one time when I was in England. And I ended up getting, like, a really bad head cold, so I couldn't actually fly because they were afraid my eardrums were going to, like, pop. So I, like, had to cancel the portion of my trip where I flew to Ireland so I could, like, take extra medication so that I could actually get back home in a timely fashion. It's pretty awesome. But enough of that sad story. Let's move on, shall we? So you guys have all heard of Frank McCourt. He wrote Angela's Ashes, amongst many of other novels. Have any of you read Angela's Ashes? I know it became a novel that you needed to, like, read in school and stuff.
Yeah, I was going to say I read it in school.
Did you like it?
Yeah, it was fun. It was nice. I mean, it wasn't nice, but it was like, you know, it was one of the more enjoyable required readings. Like, yeah. I actually read it and didn't just say I read it.
Well, that's a bonus.
Yeah, there are a lot of books that I was like, oh, yeah, I read that in school, and, like, read is in quotation marks.
Yeah, and then I skimmed it and got all the major details and then moved on.
Wrote my essay and forgot all about it.
Yeah, sometimes the required reading is rough, I'm not going to lie. All right, so let's move on. Have you guys heard of Cecilia Ahern? She wrote P.S. I Love You and Love, Rosie, amongst many, many other novels.
Did not know her name, but I love P.S. I Love You.
I was going to say, it was made into a film as well. So was Love, Rosie. Her stuff is clearly more modern and pretty popular. And usually pretty sad. There's a lot of gut-wrenching elements to her work. But in a good way, like, that's going to sound really weird. But you know how, like, there can be gut-wrenching moments, but they're, like, redeemable somewhere? So, like, you can still love the story, if that makes sense.
Yeah, like, Gerard Butler is dead, but I can still watch that movie.
they don't leave you in a bad place. They leave you in a good place. Yeah.
Yeah, so P.S. I Love You. Go ahead, Brittany. I'll let you explain it because you like it so much.
Yes. Well, I haven't seen it in years, but from what I remember, Gerard Butler dies. And yes. Hilary Swank has all these letters that he wrote her that she reads after his death. And she sort of, like, relives their relationship through them. And then finally, like, by the end has some closure. But she's, like, slowly, like, it, like, flips between, like, her being alone in the apartment. And, like, then it's, like, a split screen between, like, her being with him in their apartment. And it's, like, it's really sad when it's not focused on them being together.
Yeah, so, no, it's not. It's more focused on, like, getting over the grief of losing someone. And he kind of encourages her to move forward through these letters because he knew he was going to die. So he kind of planned ahead about and knowing that she might not take it well. So he planned ahead on how to, like, help her move forward, which is, you know, pretty sweet in a lot of ways. And then Love, Rosie stars, I'm going to forget her name. Phil Collins' daughter. What's her name?
Oh, wasn't she the girl in Mortal Instruments?
Yeah. Lily Collins. It came to me. Sorry. Lily Collins and Sam Claflin star in Love, Rosie. And essentially that's about two friends who just have the worst timing on the face of the earth. And lots of different things happen before their timing may or may not work out. And it's a really fun movie and a really good book. So definitely something to think about as if you have nothing to do this weekend or the next time you need a good film that is a little sappy, I would go with one of those. All right. So you guys have all heard of Ian Colfer. Is it Ian or Owen? I always say it wrong.
Like, I think it's Ian.
I think it's Ian too, right? There's a lot of vowels going on there, so I always mess up how to say his name. But he wrote the Artemis Fowl series. He also wrote the Warped series, which is his new one. So you guys are all... I don't know if you're all familiar with him. Are you guys all familiar with him?
I mean...
I read Artemis Fowl.
This was my one contribution to this list, and I have not read a single book by him.
Yeah, well, you know what the funny part is?
Did I send you the first one? I think I put it in your Secret Santa gift.
Yes, you did, but I have not read it.
That's okay. I was trying to remember. I knew it had a purple cover, but mine have a gold cover, so I was like, I think I sent it to her. I'm not entirely sure.
Yeah. But I've heard him speak at a couple of different book events, and he is so funny. I love listening to him speak. He's just really sassy, and it comes across in his novels as well. But he's a lot of fun to listen to talk, so that's always good. And did you guys know C.S. Lewis was Irish as well?
No.
The Chronicles of Narnia? Me either. So you think we learn about these authors in school and, like, other books, and we have to read them and everything, and they do author, like, author biographies and stuff. You think at some point in time they would mention, like, their heritage. So I'm not really sure how I missed that.
Yeah, I had no idea.
We just forgot.
Possibly, but I don't know. Like, it came like a shocking surprise. Like, it wasn't even like, oh, yeah, I kind of knew that. Do you know what I mean? Or, oh, yeah, I've heard that. But, like, it was not there at all for me, so I don't know. I don't know. All right, and then there's Oscar Wilde, going back to the classics a little bit, and that's The Importance of Being Earnest and The Picture of Dorian Gray. I love The Picture of Dorian Gray. Have you guys ever read any Oscar Wilde?
No. Yeah, I read The Importance of Being Earnest, and I feel like something else, but I don't remember what it is. But I definitely read The Importance of Being Earnest. I loved that. I thought it was awesome.
Yeah, he does some really cool stuff, so... That's a good kind of classic. Go ahead.
I visited his statue when I was in Ireland. Does that count?
Sure. Bonus points for visiting the statue. I like it. I feel like you went on, like, the literary tour of Ireland. Bram Stoker's house, Oscar Wilde's statue. It's a good time. And then the last one we have on the list is James Joyce, and he wrote Ulysses, which was first a serialized set of stories in a magazine in America, but James Joyce has done a lot of different things as well, and people tend to really like his work. I've not read any James Joyce. I don't know about you guys.
No, I read excerpts of Dubliners for a class, but we didn't read the whole thing.
Yeah. Oh, and the one person that I did not mention on the list, but should be mentioned, is Emma Donoghue, who... her novel Room was just adapted, and Brie Larson actually won the Oscar for being the lead actress in that film. So she's another one that, you know, does some clearly gorgeous writing, and she actually adapted the screenplay for Room from her own book. So it's pretty impressive. So she should definitely be added to the list. Yeah. So you had Brooklyn. Yeah. So you have Brooklyn and Room, both from Irish authors that were both nominated for Oscars this year, which is pretty cool. So, do you guys have anything else you want to bring up at this point?
Well, I can tell you that I was deceived. I had a series that I was really excited because I've only read one of the books in this series, and I thought they were Irish because the first book and therefore
on
the name
Dublin
of the series.
Street?
Yes. But they are not set in Dublin. And I was
this
so mad.
Scotland.
Yeah. And I was so mad because I was like, yes, I can contribute. Like, I was so excited. I haven't read any of the series except for Moonlight on Nightingale Way, which is actually, like, book 6. And I picked it up randomly and read it and really enjoyed it and was like, oh, this is a whole series. Like, awesome. And I was going to go back and start. And I just have gotten, like, bombarded with other books. So I have every intention of reading them. But I was deceived. I totally thought they were set in Dublin. And they're not. They're set in Scotland.
So sad. They're totally set in Scotland. Because I thought of it. I was like, oh, I'm like, no, wait.
That kept happening to me, too, because I'd be like, oh, I remember really liking this series. Wait, it's set in Scotland. So maybe we should do a Scotland list, too.
I think so. I do love Scotland. I've been there a couple times. It's pretty awesome. So perhaps we will. Maybe for the Return of Outlander, we'll do a Scottish episode. I think that's fair. Maybe we can have Laura come on, because that's kind of her jam.
That's true.
Yes. All right. Okay. So just as a reminder, we are not going to have an episode next week, but we will return March 29th with our book review episode for Shadow Queen by CJ Redwine. And we will also be having a guest author in the month of April, which is very exciting. So get your Sherlock Holmes questions ready is where I'm going to leave that one. And then, Kristen, have you picked the April book? Have you decided what you would like us to read?
I'm really bad at this because there's so many. But I will...
I know.
definitely have it for you for the next one so that everyone has time to read it.
All right, that's fair. Or we can always announce it on Twitter next week, too, if that...
True.
If we
True.
Come up with it. Sounds good. Can I tell you... here's a really funny story before we go. So you know how I read all of the... off-campus series? The Deal,
yes.
The Mistake? Yeah. Okay, so I read all of those, and they're on my Kindle. And my grandmother's Kindle is connected to my Kindle because she always needs books, so it's just easier if I share what I have with her. Or go and, like, manage Amazon for her because it's just easier that way. And so yesterday I see my grandma and she's like, oh, I just want to know, are you going to order Tucker's book? And I'm like, what? And I'm like, oh, I just finished those. Do you already have it pre-ordered? Because I'm going to need to read that book.
Oh, yay.
So my grandmother has now read that entire series. Yes,
they're so much fun. They really are.
I was like, oh, there's a lot of sex in those books. That's awkward. But no, she wants Tucker's book. So I was like, yep, I'll get right on that, Graham. I'll make sure I get that one for you.
Should be out in September, I believe. So,
yeah,
you know.
Yeah, she hates it when she has to wait. She's not very patient. So yeah, so that's a funny story for everyone. I'm corrupting my almost 80-year-old grandmother. It's fine. But if you've met my grandma, you don't think she's even relatively close to 80. Karen can vouch. She's met her.
Nope.
Not doesn't look a day over 70.
Also,
so it's pretty funny.
Football. That's what I remember the most.
Oh my God.
Yeah, Karen. Karen was at my house during a Patriots game, and it was an intense game, and she experienced my family's love of football firsthand.
Yelling. I was scared.
There was. It was good yelling. It was good yelling. See, it's fine. It's fine. So what happens when you grow up in a sports family, you get very intense about sports. Mm-hmm. It happens. All right, you guys. So that is all for this episode. And until next time, I'm Jen.
I'm Karen / Brittany.
And I'm Kristen.
She had to go.
Oh. All right, then, you guys. So we'll talk to you next time. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Bye.